The most action-packed content from the top mobile experts. This is the App Masters Podcast with Steve P. Young.
The world's best subscription apps use RevenueCat to power in-app purchases, manage customer data, and grow revenue on iOS, Android, and the web. With RevenueCat, I can easily see my most important metrics. What are those? That's install the trial the paid, and LTV. And now they have a new paywall feature that's going to make it easy for you to build high converting paywalls and, more importantly, A/B tests without needing a new build. Learn more at RevenueCat.com. That, once again, is RevenueCat.com. Notix is an audience re-engagement service based on web and in-app push notifications that work for both desktop and mobile devices. With Notix, website app owners and marketers can share their content and interact with their audiences in a highly engaging channel, while still having the opportunity to monetize both mobile and web subscribers. Learn more by visiting notix.co. That is notix.co.
Any company that's sort of building a freemium type of product needs to figure out a monetization strategy sooner or later, whether it's going to be for advertising or subscriptions.
When do you think it's the right time to start considering product-led growth?
Once you have product market fit, because then you kind of know that people actually value your product. The earlier you can put it into your overall growth strategy, the better, because it kind of becomes a really strong foundation on which you can lean on growing the business more organically versus needing to lean more heavily on paid. And if you have that strong foundation in place where the product actually becomes the growth engine, you can drive more users around organic and word of mouth.
Jordan's here. He says, how does Lomit define product market fit?
The thing to look at is, do your users really value your product? And there's two ways they can either value it. Either they value it with their time or with their money. But the first thing to look at is engagement data in terms of how much time are people spending in the product? And are they actually coming back to the product as well? Once you have product market fit, you want to be thinking about how you're going to monetize those users, whether it's through advertising, through subscriptions, or through in-app purchases.
Once you get them into the app, are there other features that you felt like one can increase engagement?
When you talk about streaks, that's really important, right? The tinker is we call it missions. So in order to try and make it fun, we try to come up with these different missions, which is pretty much different linear paths of different projects that need to be created to earn different rewards. Kids really value those rewards, earning badges and points that they can redeem for different prizes and rewards, as well as kind of getting that validation within the community of, you know, that this person is doing pretty well. One of the things that we sort of introduced into Tinker since I've been here is this element of live coaching. And by that, it sort of follows the playbook of what a lot of SaaS businesses do when they have customer success managers. But the difference is we have these highly trained teachers that are pretty well trained on how the Tinker product works. And so the first thing that we offer is a free coaching session with a live expert who can help walk them through the product and help them get started on those missions.
How do we get them to actually like help us grow and get more downloads?
One of the things that we've really been trying to do is automated a lot of these progress reports. So parents get these weekly updates on how the kid is doing in the product. That's where the parents are more likely to kind of shit or tell people about the product. Like little Johnny is stunned using Tinker and excited to be learning to code on Tinker. A huge part of what we try to encourage is kids to create these different projects and then to share them in the community and get feedback from other members in the community to help them to kind of improve on that. Then the next question is, how do we productize this so that we can automate a lot of this? And a lot of this data lives within us database. So then the question is really sort of, you know, building these templates around whether it's email or an app or push, and just feeding those with different components of progression and certifications and stuff, what's happening for different kids. Now that it's all automated, and then it's just a matter of just looking at that and figuring out what else do we want to add to that mix, or what else can we do from a creative standpoint. Ultimately, you got to kind of look at the entire kind of customer journey and life cycle, right? I mean, the key is really to increase lifetime value, whether that's people spending more time in the product, spending more money. And you have to kind of break that up because, yeah, I mean, there may be some diminished returns where people will be highly engaged with this, let's say in the first 30 days or 60 days, and it will start to taper off. But that's also an early signal, you know, to figure out, so if this isn't working, what else can we do to continue to engage our users?
How do we take Blinkist's paywall that they've shared and how do we use that rather than use it for actual paywall, use it for push notifications?
We're doing it and it's still there because we run a lot of experiments. Clearly, it's working well for us. And the earlier you sort of put that into the onboarding flow, the more likely that someone is willing to sort of give you those permissions. We also asked our users, like, you know, what was your biggest concern, you know, about doing the 7-day free trial? And for the most part, it's forgetting charged. Right.
Blinker's got 100 million kids. It's the largest community for kids to learn how to code. So talk to me about community.
Community was kind of built in right from the start. Into the product. But the big difference is we have over 150,000 schools that use Tinker. So that's kind of where Tinker started. And so there was huge awareness for Tinker within schools. Then the idea was, how do you build on that? And that's where a lot of the community aspect came in, because a lot of kids were looking to continue to use Tinker outside of school.
Do you guys do anything to encourage people to share? Or is it just like, build these features?
We create these different competitions and contests around coding, and we call it code jams. And kids create different projects around different themes. And then we get other people in the community to rate these different projects. And that's how the whole community kind of gets more involved in it. And then another thing, it's like in terms of like price points, we used to have a whole series of like these different plans. And what we found is It just complicates people because it's like there's too many choices. And we've just really simplified going to a unified subscription that works across mobile and web, you know, pretty much like, you know, simplifying the price points. Yeah. Another thing that we found doing onboarding, and we tested this, just putting in a short video really worked well for us.
Steve, can you tell me if keywords used in metadata and in subscription promotion on the App Store count as repeated keywords?
If you kind of use kind of the keywords in the metadata or the description or in the name, you know, you don't have to kind of repeat it in other places.
I don't know for sure if it counts as repeating or if it just helps. In my anecdotal data, I feel like it actually helps versus hurts. So I would do it if I were you. Scott Williams says, hey, Steve, is it better for ASO to name your app after the keywords you're targeting? If I had a meditation app, would it call Meditation Plus Plus or something similar in ASO? Yeah, it would help. Obviously, I wouldn't go after meditation, call it Plus Plus, but yes, that's a great example. Peter says, what paid ad platform did you get the best returns?
I've always found like Google or Facebook, depending on different audiences. Even like Snapchat and TikTok were good. I was going to say the key with paid is really to try and ideally not think about what's working now, but think about like 18 months to 24 months, like what's starting to get hot. That could be hot, you know, in a couple of years. And ironically, in any company that's sort of building a freemium type of product needs to figure out a monetization strategy sooner or later, whether it's going to be for advertising or subscriptions. So having those conversations early, and when they start to put out a beta version of that, you can get onto that beta. The challenge isn't just doing pay, but it's measurement. Come up with a attribution systems that you trust, then you can validate whatever your cost to acquire a customer is, your return on ad spend.
When you said Google, was it Google for iOS downloads or Google for Google downloads?
So both. I mean, we did it for Android. And at that time, they were getting really early into iOS. So we were able to sort of work on the iOS side as well.
Joe says, does anybody know of a Google Play equivalent of Apps Gone Free? Joe, there is one. If you Google Apps Gone Free on Google Play, you'll find a bunch of apps. You might go to Reddit, subreddit called the App Hookup, and they do Android apps. They're primarily iOS apps, but you can do Android on App Hookup.
Tired of overpaying for App Store optimization? Get unlimited ASO and app marketing support to increase your keyword rankings, downloads, and more importantly, your revenue. Learn more at asomasters.com.
Thanks for listening to the App Masters podcast. For show notes and amazing app marketing content, check out appmasters.co.